A Jewish Journal article, Exodus. The script for the American story. Few Americans realize that as the Jewish community begins reading the book of Exodus in the weekly Torah cycle, the text being studied is actually one of the political and moral founding documents of the United States. As the historian Deborah Lipstadt, the U.S. Special Envoy to Monitor and Combat Antisemitism, recently told an interviewer, "Sometimes I go to the National Archives just to check on the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, just to make sure that they're still there and that they're okay." You can't, you shouldn't, read those documents without being aware of where those ideas came from. There are no footnotes, but you know it. These ideas are rooted in the Hebrew Bible. It was the figure of the tyrannical Pharaoh of Egypt, whose oppression and enslavement of the Israelites is described in Exodus opening verses, whom revolutionaries saw as the predecessor of the British King George III, tormentor of the colonies. On December 17, 1773, John Adams, who would become America's second president, described the Boston Tea Party, the protest against repressive tax policies, in his diary. "Last night three cargoes of Bohea tea were emptied into the sea. This morning a man of war sails. This is the most magnificent movement of all. There is a dignity, a majesty, a sublimity, in this last effort of the patriots, that I greatly admire. The people should never rise, without doing something to be remembered, something notable and striking." Was the destruction of 342 chests, roughly $1.70 million worth in today's currency, truly necessary, he wondered in his notebook. He then answered his own question in the affirmative, analogizing England to Egypt. "I apprehend it was absolutely and indispensably so. To let it be landed, would be giving up the principle of taxation by parliamentary authority, against which the continent have struggled for 10 years, it was loosing all our labor for 10 years and subjecting ourselves and our posterity forever to Egyptian taskmasters, to burthens, indignities, to ignominy, reproach and contempt, to desolation and oppression, to poverty and servitude." To Adams, the only way to avoid the length of servitude suffered by ancient Israel in days of old was to begin to rebel now. Token photo, Getty Images. Strengthening the revolutionary efforts was the influential pamphlet, Common Sense, published anonymously and written by Thomas Paine. The tract had the largest sale and circulation of any book in American history in proportion to the population at that time. It too saw in the colonists cause a fight for liberation like that of the children of Israel. Articulating the moral argument for disobeying the crown, Paine traced the institution of kingship itself back to its biblical roots. "The will of the Almighty as declared by Gideon, and the prophet Samuel, expressly disapproves of government by kings," he wrote, referencing the books of Judges and Samuel. The British aggression on April 19, 1775 at Lexington and Concord was the sign that a revolt against a maniacal monarch was the only option. "The moment the event of that day was made known," he continued, "I rejected the hardened, sullen-tempered Pharaoh of England forever, and disdained the wretch, that with the pretended title of father of his people, can unfeelingly hear of their slaughter, and composedly sleep with their blood upon his soul." King George III, went the argument, was no less bloodthirsty than Pharaoh, and merited a similar oppositional response. This time, it would be patriots instead of plagues. During the Revolution, Connecticut pastor Nicholas Street galvanized his parishioners into supporting the cause of independence. In an April 1777 sermon titled, "The American States Acting Over the Part of the Children of Israel in the Wilderness, and thereby impeding their entrance into Canaan's rest, or, the human heart discovering itself under trials," he preached, "Thus we are acting over the like sins with the children of Israel in the wilderness, under the conduct of Moses and Aaron, who was leading them out of a state of bondage into a land of liberty and plenty in Canaan. Again, we are ready to marvel at the unreasonable vileness and cruelty of the British tyrant and his ministry, in endeavoring to oppress, enslave and destroy these American states, who have been some of his most peaceable and profitable subjects, and yet we find the same wicked temper and disposition operating in Pharaoh King of Egypt above 3,000 years ago. Egypt's despotic ruler's subjugation of Israelite slaves was not the only biblical villainy Street called to mind. He turned from the Passover story to Purim in criticizing the nefarious ministers in the British government. Great men are generally proud, ambitious and aspiring, disdainful of inferiors, and apt to resent the least indignities. We see this in Haman, an aspiring courtier, who when he saw that Mordecai bowed not nor did him reverence, was full of wrath. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were through the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus. And Haman said unto the king, and the British ministry have been acting over the same wicked, mischievous plot against the American states, as Haman did against the Jews, and we have reason to hope that they will meet with the like fate. Street made clear that those who would oppose the colonial cause deserved, like Ahasuerus' conniving minister Haman, to be hanged on the gallows. It wasn't only in that Connecticut congregation that Exodus was evoked, and it wasn't only Israel's enemies that were reconstituted in this time. In a 1778 sermon for the parish of New Hampshire, the Republic of the Israelites, an example to the American states, Samuel Langdon, a Boston minister and revolutionary preacher, saw in the nascent nation's emerging republican model of governance a revival of Moses's model. When first the Israelites came out from the bondage of Egypt, they were a multitude without any other order than what had been kept up, very feebly, under the ancient patriarchal authority, Langdon noted. Once Moses complained that the burden of judicial responsibility was too heavy for him. God commanded him to bring 70 men, chosen from among the elders and officers, and present them at the tabernacle, and there he endued them with the same spirit which was in Moses, that they might bear the burden with him. Thus a senate was evidently constituted, as necessary for the future government of the nation, under a chief commander. And as to the choice of this senate, doubtless the people were consulted, who appear to have had a voice in all public affairs from time to time, the whole congregation being called together on all important occasions. The government therefore was a proper republic. If I am not mistaken, Langdon concluded, instead of the 12 tribes of Israel, we may substitute the 13 states of the American Union. From America's earliest days, then, its influential figures, presidents, pundits and preachers, saw in the pages of Exodus the script for the American story. A textbook for resistance to tyranny and the roots of a revolution that would light the way towards liberty, its chapters will be read once more by all those seeking a more perfect union. Rabbi Dr. Stuart Halpern is senior advisor to the provost of Yeshiva University and deputy director of YU's Strauss Center for Torah and Western Thought. His books include The Upcoming The Promise of Liberty, A Passover Haggadah, which examines the Exodus story's impact on the United States, Esther in America, Gleanings, Reflections on Ruth and Proclaim Liberty Throughout the Land, The Hebrew Bible in the United States.